Well, good afternoon. Welcome to WVGV's Drive Time. I'm John Slabaugh here in the WVGV studios in West Union, West Virginia. And I hope you're enjoying September. I hope you had a good Labor Day weekend. Also, today at 5 o'clock, I'll be interviewing missionary to Russia, Don Oswerdy. The Russian government has implemented a new law that is putting a making it very hard for missionaries in Russia. They've pretty much made preaching and passing out gospel tracts in Russia illegal. And our friend and missionary, Don Oswerdy, is under legal prosecution right now due to giving out the gospel there in the country of Russia. So we're going to be talking to him and making folks aware of what's going on in Russia right now, and especially with Christians and missionaries and churches over there. And that'll be at 5 o'clock today.
Welcome to American Heartbeat, a radio program designed to inform our listeners on what's happening in our nation, state, and local area, and what we can do about it. And now, the host of American Heartbeat, John Slabaugh.
And welcome to another edition of American Heartbeat, part of WVGV's Drive Time. And with me today is missionary evangelist Don Oswerdy to Russia. And brother, it's good to have you with us today.
Well, thank you for having me, John.
And go ahead and just introduce yourself. Give us a little bit of background history of you and your family, and the years you've been over there, and how you came about becoming a missionary over there to Russia.
All right. Well, I'm an independent Baptist missionary. I graduated way back in 1985 from Bible college. I never expected to be a missionary. I expected I would serve in the United States in some form of ministry. For several years, did exactly that. I was an assistant pastor for a while. I was in evangelism for some years. In 1994, I heard about people who were going to the former Soviet Union because of the recent fall of the Soviet Union. And people were coming over here and preaching and giving out Bibles and seeing a tremendous response. So I took a trip over here in 1994, I took another trip in 1995, and in 1996 I realized God was calling me to come over here and be a missionary. So we went on deputation, and it takes a while to get everything ready when you have a family with four children at the time. I was in my late 30s at the time. And in 1999, at the age of 38, I came over to the former Soviet Union. We spent the first few years in Kiev, Ukraine. I learned the language there. And then in 2002, we moved to the city of Oryol, Russia, which is about 250 miles south of Moscow. And we've been here ever since then, trying to plant a church here in Oryol.
How many other independent Baptist missionaries do you know of over there in the nation of Russia?
In the nation of Russia, I know of about seven or eight. They're all so far away from me that I never get to see any of them. There's nobody anywhere close to me. The closest American missionary that I know is 250 miles south of me, and he's across the border in Ukraine. So I have to go almost. I have to go almost 500 or 600 miles to find the nearest American missionary in Russia.
Wow! So there's definitely room for more missionaries over there.
There's plenty of room.
Wow! Now, when you first went to Russia, what was your impression of the nation, the people, and what was their reaction to you?
Well, I noticed by the time I got over here, by the time I had finished my deputation and gone through language school, the great enthusiasm that people had in the mid-90s for the gospel and for the Bible that they had been denied for so many years under communism, by the year 2000 and the early 2000s, that enthusiasm had cooled off considerably. People would still take tracts on the street if you would hand them one. Most of the time they would take a Bible if you would hand them one. But they were not as interested. I think they had had the opportunity to hear something about the Bible. Their curiosity was satisfied. And they seemed to be interested in more worldly things. They liked American movies and rock music and, you know, the more negative things that come from America. But they were not as interested in the gospel as they had been in the mid-90s.
Hmm. Now, how long do the folks in Russia, do you run into a lot of English-speaking Russians? How long did it take you to learn the Russian language?
It took me over 2 years to learn how to speak Russian. And then really, even after 2 years of full-time study in the university, I was able to carry on a conversation, but it was not very smooth. It took me another about 3 more years of practicing to really get to where I could comfortably carry on a normal conversation and preach a sermon without having to read the entire thing. So it's a very difficult language.
So you, it was more of a hands-on learning versus you really got the hang of it after being in Russia and hearing people and then using the language.
That's correct. I had to have the background of study in the university, but once you got the fundamentals down, you really have to practice it before it becomes smooth.
Wow. Now, you said you've been there for 14 years in
yes.
the nation of Russia, and recently Russia, we talked earlier, and you said in July they passed a anti-terrorism law that included some language regarding missionaries. What exactly is this anti-terrorism law, and what kind of language is in this law?
The law has like 4 different sections. One section has to do with law enforcement. It increases penalties for people who are involved in terrorism. It increases penalties for people who know about terrorism and don't report it. Then there's a section on communications. It's really incredible what this law calls for in the area of communications. The law requires the cell phone companies to record all telephone calls, all text messages, everything that goes out over the network. They're supposed to record everything and store all those messages and conversations for 6 months. Now that the cell phone companies are going nuts. They say that's impossible. They did a study and they said in order to set up a facility to store all that information, there's not enough computer storage in the entire world to be able to do that. So they've been given an extension to comply with that part of the law. And then there's a section of the law that regulates missionary activity. I think that was somebody's pet project that they just decided to stick into this law, even though it wasn't really related to terrorism. They made some kind of excuse saying that Muslims might be meeting in small groups to form cell groups to plan terrorism. So they put a lot of language in this law, an entire chapter, that regulates missionary activity. Well, when I first read the law, I thought, oh my goodness, my ministry here is done, because it says you can't talk to people on the street, you can't have a meeting in a private home, you can't share your faith on a website or an email. Very restrictive rules. And basically the idea of the law is if you want to have religion, you keep it in the church and you don't take it out on the street or anywhere else. Don't have it in a private house. Only in a recognized church building. Well, I consulted with some lawyers in Moscow who work on religious freedom issues, and they said that when they studied the law, they immediately recognized that it was very poorly written, which is good for us, because the law has a definition of missionary activity that defines missionary activity as activity that's carried on by an officially registered religious organization. Now, I am not a part of any officially registered organization. I'm here as an independent Baptist missionary. I have meetings in my own private home. And that is activity that's protected by the Constitution of Russia. Simply as religious freedom, everyone is guaranteed the right to have religious faith and to disseminate or share your faith with anybody you want. That's guaranteed by the Russian Constitution. So the law, for practical purposes, the law is totally ineffective. It doesn't produce the intended result of shutting down all the missionaries. Now, even though that law shouldn't be applied to me, even the lawyers said some local authorities are going to try to use this law against missionaries, especially foreign missionaries, simply because they don't like foreign missionaries here. And that's what happened to me.
How does this new law, how does it affect Russian citizens that are a part of the Russian Orthodox Church?
Well, I think the Russian Orthodox Church is probably behind this anti-missionary provision, because the Russian Orthodox Church operates in official, registered church buildings. Everything they do is legal, but they want people who are out there sharing the gospel in the community, they want that stopped. So the Russian Orthodox Church is totally untouched by this law. Anyone who's trying to reach the community with the Word of God is targeted by this law.
Well, help me understand this. You said that this law says people that are a part of a registered religious organization, and I'm sure the Russian Orthodox Church is a registered religious organization. So is it only applied to people that are not Russian citizens, or just is there an exemption for the Russian Orthodox Church?
It applies to everybody, but the restrictions in the law, for example, having a meeting in a private home, that's not something that the Russian Orthodox Church does.
Mm-hmm.
The only people who have meetings in private homes are evangelicals, Protestants, Baptists. So the Russian Orthodox Church is glad to see a restriction that prohibits people from meeting in private homes. Handing out literature in public places, that's not something the Russian Orthodox Church does. So they're glad to see that restricted.
So, this law, how has this law affected your ministry there, and how did you end up getting prosecuted?
Well, the local authorities decided that since they had a new law, they were going to give it a try on the only American within hundreds of miles. So they set up a case against me. They got a hold of a couple of my tracts, and they glued these tracts onto a bulletin board at the entrance of an apartment building. Now, that in itself should not be illegal. I did not glue those tracts onto the bulletin board. I have never glued a tract onto a bulletin board. I hand them out to people. I put them in mailboxes. So they received a police report, a complaint that if you ask me, this was a trumped up charge. I think the police glued these tracts to the bulletin board. They got one of their girlfriends to write out a report. Some young lady wrote out a police report. She said, "I was walking down the street with my girlfriend, and we noticed this literature was glued to the bulletin board. And it was foreign religion being advertised, and we were just shocked and afraid because foreigners are operating in our town, and that seems so unpatriotic." And, you know, the basic gist of the report, that these girls were frightened because foreign religion was being advertised in their own town. So they took pictures of it, they tore down the papers and brought them to the police. So the police showed me this police report and said, "We have a complaint against you. you have been distributing literature. I said, well, yes, I do distribute literature, but I didn't glue those tracts to the board. The other thing they said was, you have had a religious meeting in a private home. Now, the reason they knew that, well, for one thing, I've advertised them all over town for the last, at least the last 10 years since I bought this particular house to use for church services. But on August the 14th, which was a Sunday, we were having a morning service, and about 15 minutes after the service started, three men came into our house. They were not wearing uniforms, but they did pull out their badges and identify themselves as policemen. I told them that we were busy and I couldn't talk to them now, but if they would wait till our service was done, I would be glad to talk to them. They sat down. They didn't argue with me. They sat down and listened to the sermon. They listened to the singing. And then after the service, they asked a lot of questions, and then they said I needed to go to the police station. So, in effect, I was arrested. I asked at one point in this process if I was, I said, would it be correct for me to say that I'm under arrest? Oh, no, you're not under arrest. I said, well, okay, well, I want to leave. I want to go home. Can I do that? And, well, no, you really can't do that. So, you know, and it, really, I was under arrest. So they arrested me. They took me to the police station. They filled out paperwork charging me with illegal missionary activity, which consisted of two charges. One was distributing literature because they had found my tracts in a public place. Number two was that I had a religious meeting in a private home. And they said that both of those things constituted illegal missionary activity. So from the police station, they drove me directly to the courthouse on a Sunday afternoon, and they immediately had a court hearing where I stood before a judge, and the judge pronounced me guilty of illegal missionary activity.
Wow.
And I was sentenced to pay a fine of 40,000 rubles, which is a little over $600. Now, fortunately, they did not sentence me to deportation. Under this law, foreigners who are found guilty can be deported immediately from the country. And they didn't do that, but they did say I had to pay a fine. Now, I am appealing, together with my lawyers in Moscow, I am appealing the charges. And like I said, the way we understand and read the law, these charges should be overturned and thrown out. But we will find that out on September the 19th. We have a hearing in court, an appeal hearing, and then we'll see what happens after that.
So they can take you right from the police station after charging you to the courthouse for sentencing?
Exactly. That's exactly what they did. I don't think that's standard normal procedure, but that's what they did in this case, which makes me think that this was all planned out. The charges were set up. The policeman knew I'd be having a service. They came and observed it. They actually lied to me. While they were questioning me at the church house, I asked them, is there a complaint against me? And they said no. When they got to the police station, they said, well, actually, we lied. There is a complaint against you, and we're writing out criminal charges against you. So it was they kind of railroaded it through the system in a hurry.
Wow.
Now, interesting thing, I'm sorry, maybe you have another question.
No, go ahead.
Interesting thing, that was on a Sunday. They did not allow me the opportunity to get my own lawyers to come down from Moscow, but they did appoint me a court-appointed lawyer. And he came in and, you know, he gave me some advice and it was fine. But on Tuesday, he called me and asked me to come to his office. I went Tuesday morning to talk to this lawyer that had been the court-appointed lawyer. And he told me, I've been asking questions around the police station because I have friends there, and they tell me that people in high places are out to get you. And really the safest thing for you to do is just to pay the fine and don't appeal it and just leave and go back to America because we don't have good relationship between the two countries. And he said anything could happen to you. They could throw you in jail. They could take you down to the basement and beat you up. You could just disappear and no one would ever see you again. And then he went on to say, and I know you live here with your wife, and I would hate to think that anything would happen to her, but the safest thing to do is for you just to pay the fine, don't appeal, and go home. Well, I immediately recognized that he was just trying to scare me. I think they realized that the charges are very weak and likely to be overturned. So, you know, there's a threat hanging over me. I did decide that my wife needed to go back to America while this is being settled. So I sent my wife back to America. She's there now. I'm staying here to fight the charges. To be honest with you, I think that my opportunities to serve here are going to be very limited in the future. One thing the lawyer told me, even if these charges are overturned, the local authorities can find anything they want to accuse you of. They can catch you crossing the street in the wrong place. They can make something up. They can get one of your neighbors to claim that you did, you know, that you played music too loud in the middle of the night. They can find a way to get rid of you, and they will deport you. And I really think that's true. So I'm in the process now of trying to close things up here. I think I'm going to have to leave. I am talking to some people that might be able to get me a Russian pastor who was trained by an American missionary who could possibly take this ministry over. But I think my opportunities here are pretty much done. I think my ministry here is finished.
Now, first I want to comment, here in the U.S. it takes months, maybe even years to go to court. So that's amazing that they can just take you from the police station over to the courthouse. And then secondly, with the charge allowed to have service now, I mean, could you be charged again?
I decided that since I was found guilty, until we have an appeal and I can be exonerated, and, you know, because my activities have been officially declared to be illegal. So I called all the different people that normally come to service, and I said, listen, until something changes, we're not going to have any services. I'm not going to go around town and hand out literature for the time being. I'm not going to do anything else that they say is illegal until the court has ruled that what I'm doing is legal. So I'm kind of in limbo right now.
Mm-hmm. Now, since this is kind of like a local thing, are you able to go to a different town or city there in Russia and continue your ministry?
Technically, I think that would be possible. I have talked to other missionaries here in Russia. They are not experiencing any problems. I think that I'm a test case. Which is one reason why I feel it's so important for me, even if I don't plan to stay in this country, I think it's very important for me to fight these charges for the sake of other missionaries and for the sake of freedom for Russians to be able to have religious freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, fighting the charges is a very important thing to me and to others. I'm guessing that I'm probably not going to be serving in Russia in the future, but it's very sad. This is what I've been living for basically the last 22 years. My heart has been over here, reaching these people. I think God gave a window of opportunity for, and if you look at end time prophecy, everyone was really shocked and surprised that Russia would, you know, the communism would fall, because we all know that Russia's the bad guy in the end times, and we just figured the Soviet Union was going to be, you know, the big bad bear in the end time prophecy. And then all of a sudden, it looks like Russia is going to be a good guy, and they're going to be our friend, and it's all going to be open and free, and everything's going to be wonderful. That's what we thought in the mid-90s. But that really didn't happen. God gave Russia a window of about 25 years to hear the gospel, and for those who wanted it to receive it. And I think we see end time prophecy gearing up with Russia's activities in Ukraine and in Syria. And I mean, if you think about Russian tanks in Syria and you read the book of Ezekiel, I mean, you can't help but think we're right up at the end. Well, mm-hmm. in order for that end time prophecy to come true, Russia's got to really turn all back over to the dark side again, and I think that's what we're seeing now.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said that this court date for the appeal is September 19th.
September the 19th. It's a Monday.
September the 19th. Is there anything specific you'd like for our listeners to pray with you about?
Just pray that these charges will be overturned on the first appeal. This group of lawyers that I'm working with, they're all Christians, and they have taken cases like this all the way to the Supreme Court several times. They have actually won in the Supreme Court several times, and they have every intention to, you know, if they don't get it overturned in the lower court, they have every intention to take it all the way to the Supreme Court.
Hmm. Wow.
It's a very important test case for this country.
Well, brother, we're pretty much out of time here. Do you have a website where you will keep folks can go and get updates on what's going on over there with your court case?
Yes, my website is donossewardy.com, donossewardy.com. And then on my homepage, there is a note that says, go here to the update page, and I have a detailed series of updates on everything that has happened, and as new things happen, I will put that up on my website so people can follow it if they're interested.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here with us today, and God bless you, and we'll be praying for you.
Thank you for having me, John. God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to American Heartbeat today. Be sure and tune in again next week at this same time. To contact us, dial 304-873-2225. That's 304-873-2225. Or email us at ah@wvgvradio.com. That is AH as in American Heartbeat, AH@wvgvradio.com.